You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today, the last day this week, we're having David Leo back in the studio with us to finish off our topic this week called Church. Is it relevant? And David, we've been using Acts 2 verse 42 as our launch verse, which talks about four different things. Four different things that we've covered three so far. We ran out of time to cover the last one there. So we're going to start off with that today, looking at prayer. Then we're going to have a look at a few questions about how we might be doing as a people, as a church, from if you are already a Christian and you are attending a church and you're contributing to that church.
That's right.
How are we doing?
How are we doing? So, well, how are we doing in meeting these four elements that we've looked at, you know, and keeping the great dechurching in the back of our minds? So when it comes to prayer, so we've looked at four things. We looked at the apostles' teachings, which is basically, you know, the doctrinal teachings. When you come across the Seventh-day Adventists, there are some weird things like, oh, they meet on Saturday mornings. Oh, there's certain foods they don't eat. They don't drink alcohol. They don't believe in putting drugs in your body. You know, there's certain beliefs that we hold on to that you know, on the average person might find strange, but these are called doctrinal teachings. And when you spend time with us and get to know why we do this, there is a verse in the Bible in John, I think it's John 17, verse 7.
I have that here somewhere. Just let me try to find it.
But basically, the point of that Bible verse is Jesus is saying
7:17, I think it was.
Thank you. John 7, verse 17. This is in the ESV version. It says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own.
That was actually the New Living translation.
Oh, is that New Living?
Yeah.
Okay. I think in King James and or New King James, they literally use the word doctrine. Right. Which is doctrine means teaching, right? And so the point that Jesus is making here is, if you think it's weird and you actually practice it, you be the judge of whether you think it's, you know, something from me or it's just a stupid teaching. And so what happens is you get to understand who Jesus is through these teachings. You know, the whole point is to know who Jesus is. So everything that we do is based on the person of Jesus Christ and what he taught us. And so we've got the apostles' teaching. We've got the fellowship. We've got the breaking of bread, which is, you know, sharing a meal together. There's the three elements. And now we're going to talk about prayer. Now, if we look at prayer, most people know what that is. In the Christian church, we have learned how to pray, trying to learn from the model of what Jesus Christ taught his disciples. In fact, there was a way that the Jewish people prayed back then, and the disciples still asked Jesus a question, which is found in Luke 11, verse 1. Can you read that for us, please, Jason?
Sure. Again, I'm in the New Living Translation here, and it says the title, Teaching About Prayer. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Do you want me to go on?
No. So I'll just elaborate on that point. There is something here where the disciples realize they've grown up around prayer. They've seen prayer. They know that John's disciples were taught to pray because they must pray differently. And they've observed Jesus. And when Jesus prays, he prays different. And so they say, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And so the point I'm trying to make here is, there is a certain way that Jesus modeled to his disciples. And this model that he gave, which is called the Lord's Prayer, and we find it here in Luke 11, verses 2 to 4, and you also find it in Matthew 6. But we'll read this version first and see what are the points Jesus is making in the prayer he teaches the disciples?
So he says, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm. There's a point.
In another translation, it says, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah, remember that his status, his rank. You know, like that's the first thing.
May your kingdom come soon.
Mm-hmm.
Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation.
Okay, very simple points, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what the prayers were that were prayed by the leaders of the Jewish people back then, of Jerusalem. But Jesus says, this is how you pray. And so there are a couple of things we can garner from that, right? From the ages, from there on in, from this church to the next generation to the next generation, they actually elaborate on these. And, you know, the church today, when I say the church, I mean Christians in general. There are some churches, like the Anglican Church, they have a liturgical book. That's a fancy word. But basically, there are prayers written.
They have prayer books, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at the Seventh-day Adventist hymnal, we've actually got responses at the end. I hardly ever see it anymore, but we have prayer responses. And so that's a similar kind of thing.
If I want to learn how to pray, I'll just go into this book of Psalms.
Good point.
There's so many
good point
messages there. There's so many examples of how David calls to God and prays.
Yeah. That's right. But the whole purpose of prayer is the opening of our hearts and minds to God. You know, that we should share this with somebody. You know, in a very, and I'm not trying to take away from seeking therapy, but ads, commercials, you see it everywhere. T-shirts are actually saying it now. It promotes this idea of talk to somebody, right? Talk to somebody. Don't hold it in your head. Don't keep it to yourself and build up this burden that you're carrying out by yourself. And Jesus has said it from the beginning. Hand it over to me. You know, we're not strong enough to handle things in life. And so Jesus says, pray to me, speak to me, hand it over. I'm big enough to take care of it. And so when we wrap this up with fellowship and breaking of bread, there's another verse, right, Jason?
Sorry, I was going to – you just mentioned there that talking to people is helpful, and there's a verse in Galatians 6, verse 2 that says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ.
Amazing. So, sharing each other's burdens.
Yeah, and how is that obeying the law of Christ? And that's – I've actually preached about this once before, and it's actually – part of the love that we share for each other, that we are prepared to listen and support each other.
Interesting, you know? Isn't it? Yeah. I thought it was on that length because, I'm true to my Seventh-day Adventist calling. When I see the word law, what do I think of?
The Ten Commandments.
I think of the Ten Commandments,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so just looking at that where it says, this is the law of Christ,
yeah.
You know, and when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and the last six commandments is love your neighbor as you love yourself.
And that's how I connect it too, that those two summary commandments are love God, love each other.
Well, there you go. Jason and I just did an example of why it's important to fellowship.
Mm.
We just shared with each other. We're in common ground, and we see, we can see that fulfills the law of Christ. Bearing each other's burdens is fulfilling the law of Christ. And so when it comes to prayer, it's not just you praying individually.
Mm.
There are things that we pray about with a friend or with a group. Or with the church, you can pray as a group. I mean, it's basically trying to lift the heavy weight together, you know, and there are amazing things that I could spend ages talking about testimonies left, right, and center where groups have come together or the church has come together to pray about something, and the response from God comes in ways unbeknownst or that you just did not predict, because we are not God and we are humans. But you know, when you say, speak to me, I'll take care of it. He does amazing things in this particular time. So learning how to pray is an important thing. And one of the things you do is you come alongside people that have been doing it for a while. And, you know, one of the greatest things that happened with me, Jason, I was taught by my mentor, who taught me a model called ABC, Ask, Believe, Claim. And it's funny, the one that I teach the others is not ABC. I teach one called ACTS, the Acts Prayer. And I've been told it's many, many decades old. And I love the Acts Prayer. But Ask, Believe, Claim, he basically taught me that you put the problem to God. That's the ask part. You know, Lord, right now, I just don't have the patience. I don't care. You know, and then B, believe. Father, the Bible says that you'll provide for all our needs according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. That's the believe part. That's what the Bible says. The claim is, Lord, I'm claiming that promise that you'll give me patience because I can't conjure it up myself. Right. And so he was teaching me, but I didn't know what it looked like. And he said, let's do this.
I think there's one thing missing from that. Sorry to to ruin the perfect picture. I think it's really good, like this prayer that Christ modeled, is to first of all acknowledge God, you know, before. And we need to take that into account. When we come to God, we shouldn't first of all come with our needs.
Oh, sorry.
I think we've got to come acknowledging God for who he is and even praising him, you know, and thanking him.
Yeah.
And then that puts us in the right frame of mind to then go on and ask.
No, that's right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. But when he was teaching me the ABC, he said, okay, let's do it together, right? I said, okay. So he started it, right? And he said, Lord, we're coming together. Dave wants to be mentored into what it means to do the work. And then he quoted a verse, did the claim. Oh. And then we did a second one. And then he paused and let me do it. And then we just went one for one. And it ended up going for like 45 minutes. You know, and I'm breaking down by this point. You know, I'm thinking, I didn't realize this could be. But he just taught me one method, right? And he was basically showing me, you don't have to do the methodology that that you've been taught this whole time, you know?
Because it's a different methodology. Yeah,
because mum and dad, and I'm not taking away from anything from dad, but dad, he kind of used the model that Jesus had.
The Lord's Prayer, yeah.
Yeah, and he started off with gratitude, the gratitude, and then forgiveness of sins, and then, you know,
petitions. We go to ask.
Those are the three things he taught.
I still like that model.
Yeah.
I think there's something important because it puts us in the right place before we go into asking.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a benefit of that. But I also love the idea of looking at those promises because I think they're very powerful.
Absolutely.
When we read the promises that are in Scripture, we know that God is faithful and
he's powerful.
He hears our prayers.
Yeah.
He's powerful. And I think if we claim those promises, we pray and request, you know, put our needs forward.
Yeah.
As long as those needs are not just selfish, frivolous needs. If they're genuine needs, then I think God hears our prayers.
I think that was the big thing that was happening when my mentor taught me that. And this is going a couple of decades back now. I didn't realize the relevance of Scripture to our prayer. You know, somewhere it was missed in the picture there. So I try not to, when I'm training others, I'm like, okay, let's not miss this part. So that's why prayer is important. But let's go into the assessment now. You've been brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and so have I. I've probably been a part of eight different local churches. And when it comes to these four elements in Acts 2 verse 42, the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Do you think we're meeting, and thinking about the great dechurching, do you think we're meeting those things? And, you know, like.
I think my local church specifically is doing okay in a lot of these areas. I think modern society makes the real close fellowship, you know, that. Meeting each other's homes and breaking bread. I think they were doing it daily. You know, that doesn't happen here.
Sure.
But it does happen. And, so I think modern society has broken down those communal practices to some extent.
Yep.
It's hard when you've got two incomes, you know, two people working just to survive. It gets hard to.
And then they're raising kids and then trying to find time to.
Yeah. So there's some practicalities there. But I do love, as you mentioned earlier, the church gatherings where we bring, eat, we contribute, we bring food, we share it together. That's beautiful. I love the Bible study groups that we have.
Yeah.
They're amazing, where people can share in smaller, you know, smaller groups.
All four of those things can happen in those Bible study groups, can't they, Jason?
They can. Yeah, we can even share meals together. And we do, in our Bible study group, we'll often have a social, you know, event where we go out on a night and we'll go to a restaurant and we'll share together in that way as well. Not quite the same as being at home.
You know, it's a, I think it's a really important factor, Jason. I think anybody that's walking off the street into one of our churches, they should be able to discover that there is a Bible study group that they can be a part of, that they can submit themselves to the apostles' teachings through the scripture. I'd like to throw it out there. Every church should have a Sabbath school group, right? This should be the bare minimum of what a Bible study group looks like. But if you're to walk into any church and say, is there a Bible study group here that either meets on a Saturday morning or meets during the week?
During the week, yeah.
And infiltrate. No, sorry, that doesn't sound good. But, you know, be a part of that. That's like the core and the crux of Acts 2 verse 42. I think one of the strong things in our church is the apostles' teachings. I think you'll not only hear it from the pulpit, but you'll hear it in different settings and different groups. I know as growing up in the church, I don't see it as often anymore, but we used to have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night. I think that was the standard. I think we intentionally had it in the middle of the week, you know, because that's slump day, isn't it? So yeah, that was the reminder.
We have a men's group Bible study every second Wednesday, which is good.
Right in the middle of the week.
Right in the middle of the week, but only every second week. It'd be cool if it was every week, but we don't want to wear people out.
And then when it comes,
that's been going for about 20 years now, or 15 years or something. So.
Yeah. So it's a long time. I think prayer together is really important. So we've got prayer, apostles, teaching, but I think perhaps in hospitality, I don't think it's just us suffering in that area because of the busyness of modern Western society today. And a fellowship, you know, these are things I think we need more of, but it's a matter of putting the time and effort in, isn't it?
And, you know, there are people with different gifts, and you know, there's one particular guy who's in our small Bible study group, and he is very observant to people's needs. And I actually gave him that feedback a couple of weeks ago. I said, I think you've got a gift in this area. And he just hones in, and then he'll organize something.
Well,
he'll get the people, he'll rally the people together, and we'll organize to get together for this person who's struggling or, you know, having a bit of a hard time, or whether it be prayer or whether it be a meal together or whatever it is. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that is a gift.
Certain people have different gifts to help in that process. So.
Yeah. So big question before we close up, Jason. Do you think church is relevant? And to our listener, do you think church is relevant? We'd love to hear your feedback.
I absolutely think it's relevant, and I feel like I want to read a passage from, it is in Hebrews 13.
Oh, 13 again.
But it's in a different part of Hebrews 13, I think. I've just got to find it. I've lost it. I had it. Now it's gone. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay.
So that actually says that I think we read it earlier in the week where we started off where we come together to support each other.
25.
25, that's it. We come together.
Also Hebrews 10. I think it's Hebrews 10.
Hebrews 10, right, yeah. Okay. We come together, we support each other, we encourage each other.
Encourage one another, that's it.
It's a beautiful thing if your church is like that. Now, church can be also a very lonely experience if it's not like that. So let's really encourage each other to make church something that, here it is here, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Amen.
And that is more true today than it was then.
Yeah.
You know, we need to keep encouraging each other, people are lonely.
Yeah.
People are isolated. There's, you know, different stresses and struggles and things that people go through.
So true. You know, and
church can be a very positive thing if we make an effort to connect and to love each other. As Jesus said, that by this, you know, the acts of love that we do to each other, that's the way people will see him.
Yeah. You know, Jason, just one last thing before we sign off. The thing you just said, you know, there is definitely an epidemic of loneliness happening at the moment. I think it's been conditioned into us. And anyone that feels like, oh, I don't want to go because, you know, I'm going to feel embarrassed or I'm going to feel inconveniencing others or whatnot. If you see the sign of our church, please pray for boldness and walk in. And we'll pray that the place you walk into will be ready to receive you.
And we need to pray for our churches that we are ready to receive.
Yeah, amen.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for our last chance to claim our free offer today.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
This week, our free offer is a free Bible study guide on the topic of church. Sometimes we can think that church is boring and irrelevant. The church is meant to be a community of people who share their faith, hope, and love of Jesus. The Bible uses a number of pictures to describe what church is like. Grab this Bible study guide. You can use it personally or in a group to dig into what church is all about. Text us in TEM74 to 0488 880 891. That's TEM74. Text it in to 0488 880 891. Thank you, David, for joining us this week. And church definitely is still relevant. I'd encourage people to get along to a church if you haven't been recently. This is a beautiful song by Lantern Music, Put on Love. That is how it is when we know Jesus.
Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and
wait for it,
patience. That's right. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect, perfect unity. Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and
wait for it,
patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.